From Acts 2, sometimes we need to have something told to us again and again and again for it to really start to sink in and for us to completely realize it or even to get a real glimpse of it. So the praise team started. They read part of what we're going to read today, and I'm going to read that again as well as a few of the other verses that are in between there. So Acts 2, verses 1 to 13. Here are these words from the Lord. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were living, where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of flame that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, in other languages, as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine. They are drunk.'" So far, the reading of God's word. So this morning, you're welcome to, for at least this first part, or for the whole sermon if you like, you're welcome to close your eyes and just imagine for a moment. Just imagine that you are in Palestine, first century. You are in a house in Jerusalem. You are one of the believers that have followed Jesus for most of his 3-year ministry. You're not one of the disciples, but you're one of the 120 believers that remained with Jesus. And you're waiting in this house in Jerusalem because Jesus had said, before he had gone up to the Father, he had said to the disciples and to all the believers, the promised Holy Spirit will come on you and will come on you in power. And you will be made my witnesses. And you will be my witnesses to Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so you're in this house and you're waiting. And Jesus had said that it would be a few days, but it had already been 10 days since you were sitting there waiting. And this house is fairly crowded. It's the house that the apostles were staying in, the 12 disciples. That's where they were staying in Jerusalem. And there was lots of people coming and going throughout these days. But it was crowded and it was somewhat hot and stuffy. So you found yourself walking up to the roof. It was a little cooler up there. There was a little bit of a breeze. It was nice. And you're looking down to the streets, to the crowds in Jerusalem. And there's a lot of crowds. The streets are very, very busy because it is the Festival of Pentecost. The Festival of Pentecost happened each year 50 days after the Passover festival. And this was a festival, another harvest festival that the Jewish people celebrated each year. And so the streets are crowded with people from all over the known world. And as you look down on these people and you're watching, you listen to the murmurs of the prayers of the fellow believers around you. Prayers asking God, Lord God, are you here among us? What does it mean that Jesus promised the Holy Spirit? What does that mean? How do we know when the Spirit is here? Lord, we want to be faithful. We know that we weren't faithful. You had said you would die and rise again. And when you went to be crucified, we lost faith and hope. When you died on that cross, we thought that was the end. And so we gave up. And then, just as you said you would, on the third day you rose again. And you made yourself known to us. And you talked to us. And you ate bread with us. You spent time with us and taught us. And let us touch you. Touch the wounds on your hands. And then after 40 days of this, you said you were going back to the Father, but that your Spirit would come on you, that you would have power to be witnesses of you. Lord, we don't want to be unfaithful again. We don't want to lose hope. But what does it mean? And as you're praying and you're listening to your fellow believers pray, suddenly you hear a sound of a violent wind, and this wind fills the entire house. And as this wind comes down on you, you see flames above your head, above the heads of all the people in the room. And you know, your heart burns within you because you know that the Spirit has come. And you find yourself praising God and saying that Jesus Christ was dead and is risen. Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is the Messiah. He is the one who was promised to come. He was God with us, dwelling with us. And he went back to the Father, but now he is here with us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you are saying this, and the people around you are saying this. And as this commotion is happening, it is drawing crowds, the crowds on the streets that are around, that are there because of this festival. God had drawn all these people to Jerusalem, and they are now there, and they are listening to you talk about Jesus, who he is, what he has done. And the people, you could say, you realize that they're kind of talking amongst themselves. And you hear them saying to each other, how come I can hear what they're saying in my own language? Aren't these all Galileans? How come I can hear them and understand them in my language? And suddenly you realize that yes, you are speaking, but other languages are being heard. The Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit is there among them. Is there where you are, and you are a part of this. And the Spirit that is and the people, they don't know what to think. In fact, you're not entirely sure what to think either, other than knowing that God is there. And as the people are looking out, and they talk to you, and they look up, and they say, who is this? What is going on? Who is it that is explaining the wonders of God to us today, now? They're amazed, and they're perplexed, and they're bewildered. But they're also curious and wanting to know. But then, suddenly, there's a few other people over there, and they start to say, this isn't God. God wouldn't do something like this. This is chaos. God doesn't do chaos. And they figure they know better. And they say to themselves, and they start shouting to the other people, this isn't from God. They're just drunk. They've had too much wine. And then Peter, you see Peter stand up. He's one of the disciples. And he starts to preach. And he starts to say, no, these people aren't drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is from God. This is the Holy Spirit. Come down on us. And as Peter preaches, the people are cut to the heart and they say, what should we do? And Peter says, repent and believe in the name of Jesus Christ, and you will be renewed, you will be saved, you will have life. The reason for the imagination exercise this morning is to give us a little bit of an idea of it. Try to get a glimpse of what it might have been like at that time for us, for them then, and for us today. Just what Rebecca was saying earlier too. We read words so often, but do we really have it sink in what it means? So this passage, it gives us a clear sense of perspective, a clear sense that what is going on here is something that's totally from God. It started with God, and it's ending with God. And the pouring out of the Holy Spirit is a continuation of the plan of salvation. This is something that we are a part of, but we do not direct. God is the one in the driver's seat. Or, put another way, you could say that God is the director. We're the actors. Or God is the choreographer. We're the dancers. Our role is to be open and willing to follow, to listen, to be amazed and bewildered, but willing to hear and to learn and to follow. Everything is directed by God. The what, the where, the why, the when, the how, and the who, they're all directed by God. Some of this God tells to the disciples before the Spirit is poured out, but some of it he doesn't say at all. The where, the what, and the why, we read in Acts 1. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, this is in those 40 days after his resurrection and before his ascension, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem. So this is the where that he's telling them. But wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's the what. God is telling them, Jesus is telling them the where and what's going to happen. And then a little later on we read, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That's what's going to happen. And you will be my witnesses. That's the why, the purpose of it. And there'll be witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The purpose is to not keep what we know and what we've experienced in our own lives, in our own hearts, but to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. But Jesus doesn't say the exact when. He says a few days. A few days to me is 3 days. If it was exact, we're not sure that's exact for the days that they're talking about here in Acts, but it was at least 10 days. Long enough to start to wonder and be concerned whether or not it was really going to happen. And Jesus didn't say anything about how it was going to happen. Nothing. They had no idea what to expect. The disciples had to step out in faith. And when it did happen, it was unexpected and surprising, but at the same time, unmistakable. And God used things that they understood, sound and sight, and he used metaphors, symbols of power, the wind and the flame. When we think about wind, wind is something that we like sometimes on a hot summer day when it's a nice breeze. And we also like flame on a cold winter's night in front of a fire. But we all know that wind and flame isn't something that we can completely control. They have power that is beyond us. A week and a half ago, the wind was here. We had quite the storm a week and a half ago with the windstorm that we had and the rain. That's something that we can't control. There's power there. And the power of the Holy Spirit is much more than that kind of power. And a year ago, Fort McMurray burned. And that was a combination of wind and flame. And once those two came together, that force was unstoppable. There was nothing people could do. Nothing. And here, God is pouring out the power of the Holy Spirit. That power is that kind of greater than that kind of power. The kind of power that is beyond what we can control and beyond what we can do anything about. And who received this power of the Holy Spirit? It was poured out on all the believers. In part of Peter's sermon, he says that this was a promise, prophecy by Joel, that it would be poured out on the young and the old, on the men and the women, and on everybody, no matter what ethnicity. It's implied that everybody who believes would have the power of the Holy Spirit. That includes everybody who's sitting here and believes, has the power of the Holy Spirit. The question for us this morning is, what is our response? In our passage, there was two responses. One was openness. There was a sense of wonder and amazement. They were perplexed and bewildered, but they were open to learning and to wanting to know. Or are we closed? Do we think we know how God works? Do we think we know what to expect? Do we put God in a box that is safe and secure and say, this is how he works, and this is the only way that I will accept what God is doing in my life? Dare we give up control of our lives? Dare we be transformed and open to God's direction? Let God actually be in the driver's seat of our life and decide where it's going to go It's a scary thing. But it also makes for a great adventure. The same goes for the congregation as a whole. Are we as a congregation open to having God be put in the driver's seat? You know, many of you have, well, some of you might have heard this story already. But as you know, the last year we've been doing some Renewal Lab work, and we've been part of this process. And some of you may have heard a little bit about how this started. But the week before, I was at a conference called Growing the Church and the Power of the Holy Spirit. And at that conference, I met a woman from Bethel CRC here in town. And she told me a little bit more about the details of what happened that actually made the renewal process in Northern Alberta begin. So Pastor Tom Baird, he's the pastor of Bethel CRC, and he really felt strongly about what kind of support is there for established churches like ours. The churches that have been around for a long time, that have been very faithful over the years, what kind of help is there for them in terms of renewal, in terms of thinking about what is it that God would have us do? What direction would God have us go in? And so he came across this Renewal Lab process through Calvin Seminary. And he prayed about it, and he thought that he sensed that God was saying, yes, this is something you should put forward to the churches of Northern Alberta. And so that's what he did. But he didn't get the kind of response that he was hoping for. He was hoping for 12 churches to step. He thought every church would step up, but they didn't. But he thought, well, if we had 12 churches who are willing to do this, then we can move forward. But 12 churches weren't stepping up. And so he started to wonder, is this really something from God? And so he brought it to the prayer team at Bethel CRC. They have a prayer team that meets every single week. And so he brought it to this team, and he said to them, can you pray with me to help me discern if this is from God? And they said, sure. While they were praying, one of the women sensed that God wanted her to pray. Now, we all pray, most of us pray in some fashion, but she sensed that he wanted her to pray in tongues. Now, in this particular group, that isn't terribly unusual. But she didn't really want to. She was like, yeah, but when I do that, nobody understands. So why do it? And he said to her, I will make sure that somebody understands what you're saying. So she thought, okay. So she got up, went over to Pastor Tom, and prayed in tongues. Now, while she was praying, another lady beside her realized that she could understand what this other lady was saying. Now, if I could find it on my, I believe it was, power and authority I give to you. Those were the words. And then she said it again, in tongues, louder. And this other lady heard it again. Power and authority I give to you. And she was like, did I really hear that right? How come I'm here? How come I can understand this? I've never had this happen to me before. So how is this even possible? She didn't say anything. But the first lady who was speaking in tongues sat down, and the other one happened to be sitting right beside her and says, you know, I think I actually understood what you said. And she said, really? Yeah, I think I understood it. So she said to her, well, say it. So she said, okay. And she said, I heard God saying through her, power and authority I give to you. That was confirmation for Pastor Tom. And so he kept going with this process of how many churches should we do? Should we do this renewal lab? You know what? Four churches stepped up. It was like, wow, four churches isn't enough. If we could just have six, at least six. And then another church stepped up. And the final church that stepped up was us, was this particular congregation. And how that happened was also a moving of the Holy Spirit. The first question-answer kind of meeting, you could say, about it happened in Pinoca, I believe. And the council felt they should send somebody. And this part you may have heard before. Thought, yeah, we should send somebody, you know. And Pastor Pete was here at the time, and he really encouraged it. But, you know, who's going to go? And nobody really had the time or felt like they could go all the way out there. And then Rob Meslink was like, okay, I'll go. Now, he went for a variety of reasons. But one of the reasons was, it was a nice day to go for a drive. I hope I'm correct, Rob, in saying some of that. And also, he was working on his kitchen at the time. And so, it was a day off working on his kitchen, too. So he went. And at that meeting, his spirit was stirred by the Holy Spirit. And he got excited. Wow. This is something that would be so neat for us to have in our congregation. And so he brought it to council. This is a year ago, June, I think. Year ago. And the council itself, as a leadership, sensed that there was something more than just basic interest on Rob's part. There was no tongues involved in this particular instance. There was no different languages or anything like that. There was just the spirit moving in a more subtle, underneath way. But it was clear and it was obvious. And the council of that time sensed, yes, this is something from God. We need to do this. And so they stepped out in faith and said, we are going to do this. We don't know how it will be done, who's going to be a part of it, but this is something from God. And we will trust that God will show us the way, the direction. And so they said yes. And it's a year later. Has God done anything in this congregation during that time? I believe he has. I believe he's been working in this congregation for the last 106 years. And this is just another step in that journey of being faithful and following God. But the challenge for us is, are we willing to continue this journey as a congregation, but also as individuals? Each of us have different things going on in our lives. We come from different circumstances, different things that we are struggling with, or that things that we're really excited about. Are we open to the Spirit working in our lives and stepping out in faith and saying, yes, we will follow? One of the things that God has been doing in my life recently is dealing with different fears. Now, those of you who have been faithful Christians for a very long time will likely know this, or even people who are, if you're here this morning and you're a newer believer or you're just seeking, you know that God works very patiently with us and often very gently with us as well. And I find it's kind of like an onion. He takes off these layers, and he works certain ways, and then he takes off another layer, and he works on something underneath that yet, and then another layer. And I firmly believe that this continues until the day we die. It is part of the transformation that he does in our lives. And what he's been working on in me, and came to kind of a head last week when I was at the Holy Spirit conference, is the fear of being up here and preaching. Now, 10 years ago, I would never have thought that I would be standing here preaching. I have a deadly fear of not remembering what to say next, not knowing what to say, saying the wrong thing. What if what I say isn't actually from God? What if it isn't biblical? Who am I to say anything? And the list can go on and on and on and on. And it became very clear, and this has been going on for about 6 months now, that when I do come up and preach, that my need to have every single word written out, just in case I forget, that I can't do that anymore. I need to trust that God will be there, that he really is real, that he has the power to give me what I need. So how well I preach isn't the point. The point is that God is the one working, and it's all about God. I don't know what you are dealing with right now in your own lives. What is it that God is calling you to? What is it that God is saying to you? That is a layer of the onion I want to peel away so that you can actually become the person that I am calling you to be. The person who is completely renewed in me. Person who is forgiven and free. Person who can step forward knowing that you are loved by the God of the universe, and that the God of the universe came and dwelt among us, took on our guilt, our sins, our brokenness, died for us, and that we can be healed in him. And he is with us every step of the way. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that you are the one who works. You are the one who is with us. You are the one who never leaves us or forsakes us. Lord, I pray that wherever we're at this morning in our own lives and as a congregation as a whole, that we can step out in faith and say, Lord Jesus, work in our hearts. Help us to live for you. Help us to be your witnesses of who you are, your greatness, your glory. Pray this in your name. Amen. This morning we will respond with singing, Speak, O Lord. Essentially, that is a prayer for us to be open to God's working in our lives.